These are ahead of us. What would be an appropriate, good scripture to maybe help us to lean into a little bit? And on my way here, I was thinking about, man, unplanned. That word just kind of stuck in me. You know, I was thinking about these unplanned things we got in front of us, Jeremiah. And so we got a number of those. And a lot of times when you hear the word unplanned, what comes next is not usually something you want to look forward to, right? Mm-hmm. But with a lot of unplanned things, there's also opportunity, you know? Yeah. And especially what we're dealing with. We're dealing with something that really wasn't unplanned. Mm-hmm. It was God's plan.
Yeah.
And so we tend to look at it differently. And so I thought I'd just read the scripture in Mark chapter 4, 26 to 29. Then Jesus said, God's kingdom is like seed thrown on a field by a man who then goes to bed and forget about it. The seed sprouts and grows. He has no idea how it happens. The earth does it all without his help. First the green stem of grass, then a bud, then the ripened grain. When the grain is fully formed, he reaps the harvest time. And it kind of reminded me of our training session we had several weeks ago, several Saturdays ago, about pruning and looking and finding opportunity in pruning. And so I just want to just share with you guys, you know, I know this, we got some challenges ahead of us, but we also have some opportunities ahead of us as well.
Amen.
So would you mind leading us?
I don't mind. Lord, we're just thankful for this day. God, as I think about the sweet weather we've had, I just get excited. I know spring is coming, so thank you, Lord. Spring is the season and the time for things to be reborn, and God, I know that you are doing that in the earth, but God, you're also doing that with us, Father. God, I thank you for my brothers around the table, God, and my brothers who are coming. God, I pray that as we continue to plan and make steps forward, Father, will you be in front of them?
Mm-hmm.
God, I pray, Holy God, that you will just bless this time, bless us. And God, as Steve was talking about the pruning, God, help us to see it as a good thing. Mm-hmm. God, I always love to know like what you are doing. And so he said, it's an opportunity. So help us to see it as an opportunity for growth, but also God, an opportunity for us to be closer to the cross in everything that we do. God, I pray that you bless this meeting. Allow us to keep you first. And God, and in those moments that we get stuck on something, God, will we not try to work our own way through it, but God, will we stop and ask the Spirit what the Spirit is saying?
Mm-hmm.
We love you and we praise you in
Jesus'
name. Amen.
So next on the agenda is family and friends update and prayer requests. Mm. Jeff, would you mind leading us in prayer once we get finished with that? So, okay, open floor. Nice kind of anybody in particular in mind we need to be thinking about praying about.
I'm not sure what the latest is on Bob Connolly, but Debbie just talked to Mary Jo earlier. I guess he must have had some sort of surgery today, maybe to put a feeding tube in.
So, okay.
And he was slow coming out from the anesthesia. So I just don't think things are going right there at all. So.
Mary Jo was more aware when I was with her than she has been. Just about serious things for her. And I mean, she indicated that the doctor had said the next 24, 48 hours were critical. And he could end up, he was not in ICU, but he was hooked up and having all kinds of procedures and this and that. And so at least I think there was more awareness, but it did seem like at the time, though the next day, the text back from her was things were a little bit better. was that his body was basically shutting down.
Goodness.
And he did have dialysis today.
He did have dialysis, which is he never had dialysis first.
They said just to give his kidneys a rest, but still, it can't be good.
Now, he didn't seem to be too, but he was actually, we got to talk some, but he still is, he's just not aware of his own, the seriousness, it doesn't seem like.
Yeah. Was that today?
That was Friday.
Friday.
Jeff, can you give us an update on Becky?
Yeah, I think she's doing better. She, as I said to some yesterday, she got to the 2 week mark, and the doctor said that she would hate him for the first 2 weeks, and she said, I think I moved from hate to respect. I still don't like him, but I respect him. So I think that had happened, and she is walking, more in the driveway, and it's just it's slow. It's a slow process, and we're just Marion was just over dropping off a meal, and I was commenting how we put things in the bulletin for prayer for people and this sort of thing, and then it goes in there 1 week, and then it sort of drops out, and more things come in, and you sort of make this unwittingly this assumption that it dropped out and everything's okay. But boy, there's the healing sometimes, and Dave can attest to this right now, and others as well. It's just a difficult process. So I think for Becky, we should think of it in terms of the next 6 weeks as opposed to, and then by the end of that, ask again in about 3 weeks. No, I appreciate everybody asking, but you understand what I'm saying. It's just a matter of, it's a matter of the body's got to heal.
Yeah. Okay. Dave, give us an update on your brother.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah.
My surgery was 4 weeks ago tomorrow.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
So, walking 2 miles a day, and got some more cardiac rehab scheduled in a couple of weeks. Back to work part-time on Monday.
Oh.
So, I'm back to regular sinus rhythm, no AFib.
That's
so
good news.
Amen.
Everything's happening the way it's supposed to, the way you hoped it would, and that it's all happening. So appreciate the prayers.
Okay.
The trajectory is very good.
Okay. Sadly enough, I couldn't walk 2 miles today.
But you walked 10 times that much when you were in England.
Yeah, paid the price.
So Matthew Jones is getting married on Saturday. Yeah. I don't, any guys know his bride-to-be? I don't really know her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. You connected to her, Diane, a little
bit?
Well,
I just know her.
Good.
She's the daughter of our kid's second grade teacher.
Oh.
Yeah. Our kids are 40s. Yeah, goes back a long way.
Okay, yeah. It's a good connection.
Yeah, she's seems like a real sweet.
Yeah.
She was at Hudson School for years.
Mm-hmm. She was. She talked there. Okay.
And what is her name? It's
Jennifer.
Jennifer. I was thinking Jennifer, but then somebody said something, and I'm like, you better ask before.
Yeah. And I guess Keaton's doing the wedding.
Yes.
I'm concerned with his health with all that.
Yeah.
So what was it that had Keaton down? I guess that happened while I was gone. I
don't
know.
UTI.
UTI.
They wanted to do something, a procedure, and he said, let's wait till after this wedding.
Prostate procedure. I'd tell him to wait.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else?
I saw Barrett New submitted a prayer request that was in the email today from Kaylin.
Okay. See that.
Does anybody know where he lives?
With his parents.
Yeah.
Well, he does.
Okay. I would think so.
I think they used to live in Kirkwood, but
Elder Baldwin, out off of Kiefer's Creek Road.
Okay.
Yeah, they've been out there for quite a while.
He's reaching out. you know, and I'm not close to him, but I want to pray for him, and then I don't know if that might be a pastoral team follow-up or one of us, me, or whatever, but...
Because he was here 2 months ago, maybe?
He's come Christmas in several time. Times right at the end of service.
Yes. Yeah.
Multiple times in the last couple of months.
And he seems to be drawn to the Adam Shelley group.
Adam's not even here.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. The Jason Vincent.
Yeah, but the last time I had seen him, Adam was here. So it was when Adam was still coming was the last time I had seen him regularly. He had come like 2 or 3 okay. weeks in a row. Yeah. And you may have not seen him because it was right there after you got done and he'd come in. But
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention, my wife noticed that Joe Shelley put on his Facebook page that he's not going to pursue any more leukemia treatments. Mm. I don't know if leukemia is the right word for his blood disorder, but he's not giving up, but he's not going to do any more of that. The neuropathy that it gives him is not worth it. Mm-hmm. And so, day at a time, but that was a pretty big fork in the road for him. Mm-hmm. Got to talk to him a little bit on Sunday.
Do you know if he's talked to Ben Maringer any about it?
Pardon me?
Do you know if he's talked to Ben Maringer about it? I've not ever asked him about if they've connected because I know that he has a very similar issue. Hmm. And so, and he's been trying, he took chemotherapy this last year, I think, was the first time he had ever done it. Okay. Up until that point, he had stayed away from it, where Joe went the other direction where he started with it. And now Joe's to the point of not doing it. So it's...
Okay.
But he's doing a lot of vitamin C treatments and stuff like that now. Still Ben is doing. So. Mm. I'll try to remember to chat with Joe about it.
Yeah.
It was good to see Glenn and Janice yesterday.
Yeah.
Amazing story. Yeah.
Was anybody a part of the getting Glenn in the car?
Just the tail end of it. I was coming out and they had just got him in. I guess he made it about halfway down the walk and couldn't go any further.
Wow.
Had to find the wheelchair and get him towards it. But then it said they were going out to lunch, so
work.
Well, Joe Shelley went with him.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So
I think Dolores drove him in, so she was out on the phone with her today, and I didn't know anything about it. And she said, "Did you hear about all the drama and the parade?" Because apparently several people had to help, get him to the car, and then three people followed her home.
Oh, really?
Back to Glenn's, back to the debate.
To get him out.
In order to, get him out of the car and all that. And then they said, well, we'll be back.
She said, I was talking with her on Sunday, she said, we are back. That was the first thing. I was like, are y'all just visiting for today? And she's like, no, we're back. I was like, okay, we're speaking that too.
Yeah, I sent him an email today, and Glenn wrote back, oh, it was great, and said, but next time I'm getting a wheelchair.
It's a good idea. And I was like, he got halfway, and I'm like, I don't think he's going to make it.
Yeah.
And he just kept going and going and going. I'm like, okay, that's up that hill, just because
That was
incline.
Dolores said I should have gone to the other parking lot.
Yeah.
But that's, it's still a long way.
But then whenever he got inside, he must have stopped somewhere. He never sat down, but he must have stopped and got his breath enough. And then he's just like walking all over the whole auditorium trying to find a seat. He's like, we decided that we're going to sit right by the door on the right side. And then they were on the far left. And it's like, okay, you guys can squeeze behind me and Ross, like me in between me and Ross when they came by the sound system. And I was just like, he just keeps going.
After church, he was having so much fun talking to people. He didn't realize until he was about ready to collapse that he was wearing himself out.
Yeah. Yes.
So I know someone went to visit Lewis one day last week, and the lady at the desk said, can I ask you something? She said, what? what did Mr. West do?
Yes.
We got all these people coming in and seeing.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's great. Awesome. All these people seeing.
Steve told me that today. Yeah.
That's great.
Well, he worked in the prison.
He's an honest prisoner.
Oh, you should have. In the same prayer request, Grace Clapper said, her nephew, got good results.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was texting her today, and she said that they just took him off oxygen altogether today.
Good.
So she said, let's be praying a prayer of thanks.
And I guess he's just a baby, so.
Newborn.
Yeah. Bless his heart.
Okay.
So Mike Lotek.
Yeah.
It's been years.
Man, he is.
Yeah.
Out of the blue.
Mm-hmm. Patty and Jason were back, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
I know Patty was sharing that her surgeries weren't really helping her condition, so she just, two surgeries and not much improvement at all, so.
Yeah.
Is this with her ankle?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Jeff?
Yeah, let's pray. God, we thank you for the day. And we thank you for just all the blessings that you give to us. And we just talk about all these things that some of them are concerns, some of them are just blessings, God, that you have blessed us with. We ask you to be with Bob and with his situation, and you know where he's at and you know what he needs. We ask your hand of mercy on him, God, and on Mary Jo. God, for Becky and for Dave after their surgeries, we are thankful for that, and we just ask you to continue to heal them, bring them back to where they feel good and ready to do all kinds of things for your kingdom.
Yes.
For Matthew and for Jennifer, as they get ready to have their wedding, we just ask your blessings on them, on their family, as they bless lots and lots of people. God, we ask you to be with Keaton, keep him well, and ready to put the two of them together. For Joe and his condition, God, we ask you to be with him and his body to heal it and to help him to be free from the issues that he has. We ask you to, and with Ben as well, as they both sort of share a common thing. God, we ask you for Barrett and his walk, and for Mike Lotek as well. We ask you to be with them both and help them to come closer to you and to know you, God, in a way that will bring others to you. God, for the Devanias, we were just so happy seeing them yesterday. We give you praise for almost a year's worth of struggle and pain and just getting to the point where they're at today. We're so thankful for that. And also we give you thanks for Grace Clapper's nephew and his little baby that we just know he's struggling, and we ask you to bless him and his parents and his family, God. For Lewis, we ask you to just give you thanks for him, because sometimes we get coming there and we just are so encouraged by him, and just to see him and to know where he was and what he's done, but also to see the faith that he still has that he blesses us with. And for Patty, God, we ask you to bless her and Jason and the accident that they had, the issues that they have, and we just know that they've been struggling, and just ask you to bless them and bring healing, God. We thank you, God, for all that you have. We ask your hand, the power of Jesus, to be on all of these, and it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Steve, you went out of order. You know that Jeremiah's supposed to go.
You got a squirrel today.
Fair enough. Okay. So I'm just going to share this as my update. It's Steve's seen it. Jeff has seen it at least. Shared it at our parent meeting. But it's just like 2023 in review of everything that the youth group did. So if you're like, what is Nathan up to? Well, this kind of tells you, so you're welcome to keep it, you're welcome to trash it, you're welcome to do whatever you want.
And just remember, he got his master's in data analysis.
Yes. And I fully intend to not let it go to waste.
Do you want me to pick it apart?
Yes.
Can I get a soft copy of this? I'll send you an email.
Sure.
It was funny at the meeting because Alicia, she's sitting there next to us, and she's like, I really don't want to see this. There's some funny comment. Yeah. 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 Back to him or something.
Can you guess? Yeah. I don't tell her about my work very much.
Yeah.
All this just to show what we did in 2023, and I have nothing to compare it to because I've done one full year, and I don't see any other youth ministers doing something like this, and so I have nothing to compare it to. But of course, this year will look a little different, but this is just to say, if anyone was questioning if we only do fun things, that's completely not right. And Steve also sits in on every Wednesday night, so he sees what I'm doing. I'm not just saying this is to show you what I'm doing, but just to show you this is the what I would call the fruit of the labor. I mean, just to see how the kids have grown. We've had 7 or 8 baptisms since I've been here. And this is just how they've been discipled. And so that's all that to show what this is about. And each, you could get into deeper analytics on the second page, and then each page after that is just the month-by-month analysis. And I would like to do this every year just to compare, see how every year looks different.
Yeah. Enjoy this year's, next year it'll be more complicated.
That's it.
By that point, he'll make it really simple. One pie chart and done.
I like to get more complicated as time goes on. So that's all for my updates. Things are going well. We've had a great start to the year. We've added Youth in Action. That was really impactful for our students. We'll get a full spring retreat this year. That's coming up in less than 2 weeks. Because last year we got cut in half by the staff training.
Is that one an area-wide, or is that just you
guys?
No,
just us.
Okay.
Just us. Yeah. So I'll go ahead and move on then.
Can I ask a question, Bob?
Yeah,
so I know the trip to Kansas City was the first time. You said that went really well.
Yes.
So what was that event? What was it?
Youth in Action.
Okay. And so what do they do there?
Yeah, so you have your keynote speaker, you have class time for the kids, worship time, and just time to just kind of be together. A lot of the kids went swimming or we played games. It was awesome.
Good.
And it's a short drive, 3.5 hours. We were a little questionable about the road conditions before we left, but Jeff was in on that because his wife drove. Beata and Carrie Holmeyer were our chaperones. Okay. And so they rode in the van and we drove the church van. But the weather's always going to be questionable around that time. But if it's safe enough, we go. And it was fine until we got into Kansas City. Then the roads were a little questionable, but the highways were perfectly fine.
So it's something you might do again next year?
We couldn't even, it was the second or third day, and the kids, they do a talent show, and the kids were like, oh yeah, we got to plan for next year's talent show. And I was like, wait, we haven't even debriefed to talk about if we want to do this again, but we were all under the consensus that we want to go next year.
Excellent.
And it really has become a replacement for the Gatlinburg.
Yes.
It's
cheaper, closer,
and
it's... even some of our kids were saying, we like this more than Winterfest because it's smaller. I mean, it's a very small conference. There's maybe 200 to 300 kids.
Who puts it on?
Some Churches of Christ in the Kansas City area. There's Liberty Church of Christ. I think they were the big sponsor, but there's some other ones that put it on. You know, they may have me doing something in the next few years because I was talking to someone, the worship leader, and then next thing I know, one of the board members comes over to me, and he's like, I've heard about you. And he's like, I want you to do one of the prayers on stage later. I was like, how do you know me? I've never talked to you, man. But then I also knew the people who were leading worship. They were old friends from Arkansas. So I actually have more connections to that conference than I than I thought.
Nice. Right.
So that was fantastic.
Yeah, she probably will be leading it in a couple of years.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have to be on the board in a couple of years. No. Okay. So as far as the next item, I talked to Steve about it already. There's a youth group. The reason I'm bringing this up is because there's a youth group that wants to stay at our building the second week of June. June 9th through the 13th, that's Sunday to Thursday. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I leave for the middle school mission trip on Monday morning and then come back Wednesday, and then I head to high teen at camp for the rest of the week. So I would be gone for the most part, and usually when we have youth groups here, I'm the host. I would be able to welcome them, show them everything on Sunday night when they got here, but then would need another contact person. And the reason I bring this up is because I don't want to turn them down because I'm not here. We have the building, we have the resources, we've been truly blessed with this building, and I just don't want to turn down a group staying here for a couple of nights just because I'm not here.
And it'd give us a chance to reciprocate and go to Memphis.
Exactly.
Yeah. one of the preaching apprentice at that church is one we're going to look at. So
yeah.
Interesting.
He could be here. Yeah.
So the conversation that was happening in the office was, could a church member in good standing be the person to be a contact if I'm not here? Usually when groups stay, I welcome them in, show them everything, and they don't ever need anything. Now, I don't want to jinx it, but they usually don't ever need anything. I'd be back Wednesday night to check on them and then head to camp. But could someone like a Carrie Ferguson, who lives up the road, Carrie Carricker across the street. a lot of people who we love and trust with the building who are very involved that we could trust and say, hey, if the group needs anything, which they probably won't, could they call you and say, hey, we need this or where's this? So that's what I'm putting on the table. I don't know if we had policies about that.
It seems appropriate to me that it doesn't have to be you and only you hosting, but I do think it's important we have a host.
Yes.
Assigned, checking in on them, keeping an eye on, you know, things getting cleaned up, because even if it's a repeat group, it's probably a lot of new people every year, and so that's just a really good practice. So as long as it's a substitute for you, that sounds like a good solution.
So question, 2 weekends ago there was a college volleyball team here or something, and I mean that happens frequently. How's that arranged?
Well, again, that we'll get called, but generally we'll assign one of the staff, and the way we've done it the last few years really kind of started with Jeremy, and then Nathan as he took over, that was just kind of his role in terms of being the point person. Okay. But we wanted to make sure that we always had a point person, but we said if we have a point person that could be responsible, it's not always easy, but it's a good thing to do. And the answer was, it always seemed like it, you know, without a lot of effort, if we work around cleaning, things like that, then this is a good thing to do. But again, in all those cases, we've had a point person here from the staff, from the staff. So this is a little departure. But.
For the Harding team, Matt Schmitz, he reached out to me specifically. And then the group from Memphis that wants to stay in June emailed me, their youth minister emailed me. So they're starting to reach out to me specifically.
You know what they're going to be doing while they're here in St. Louis?
It's a middle school mission trip, which I thought was funny because we're leaving for our middle school mission trip that next day.
And I'll be at camp, but that Tuesday night I'll be coming back organizing the big group going to a Cardinal game. Oh. So I could then just from the Cardinal game come over and touch base with them. Even.
Do we still have all the mattresses and stuff?
Yeah.
They're
still here.
Yep.
Yeah. Like the Memorial Drive group will be here in 3 weeks, and they use the mattresses typically. Yeah. There was like 3 or 4 groups that stayed here last year. And then Greater Alton stayed here a couple weeks ago. And they were pretty good. They left everything in here. That they had like 5 boys. They let them sleep in here, and then all the girls stayed in the red room. And they cleaned well and in and out swiftly, and no problems.
And I'm thrilled that we first have a facility like this and that we can offer it to people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's my piece. I don't want to turn them down. Mm-hmm. So I'll work on finding someone to kind of be in contact for that group.
Okay.
And finally, I did have an interview on Friday for an intern. I got to be careful about how I phrase things. Sorry. I don't want to trigger anyone. I interviewed someone for the intern position, and I thought it went well. I've been sitting on it for a few days, praying about it for a few days. I don't have any reservations. I was thinking about offering her the job tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions about her, I can...
Give us a little bit of information on
her. Yeah. So she's a sophomore at University of Tennessee, Knoxville. Mm-hmm. And she did an internship last summer with Tusculum Church of Christ in Nashville.
Okay.
She that church, their youth minister and associate ministers left before she started, so she took a little bit more of an admin role for her first summer as an intern. And but she expressed that she really wants to get into the relationship building part of it. She is studying psychology, and she wants to do counseling of some type with younger people with this age range. So I asked her about her internship and asked her, you know, what she likes to do and spiritual practices, disciplines, and, you know, all the fun stuff, strengths, weaknesses, handling conflict. Mm-hmm. She gave kind of similar answers that I would give. So I was like, okay, I can trust her.
What's her name?
Sydney Bowl.
If you wouldn't mind, Nathan, before you make that formal offer, wait until you can touch base with Elizabeth to synchronize the details.
Yeah.
Missouri minimum wage changed January 1. We had to rework the math for the intern. And just make sure you've got all that lined up before you communicate some details.
Sure.
And if she's coming back soon, then that shouldn't
hold
you up.
She'll be back tomorrow.
She'll be back tomorrow.
If you wouldn't mind doing that.
Sure. I'll run it by her. Now, hopefully this is assuming she accepts the offer, but that's what we're praying for.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which I'm very blessed about, because this is something I've been praying about, and my first time actually actively looking for an intern, opposed to being given one. And I didn't know how it'd go, and so here we are, and I feel good about it.
How did she hear about us?
So she had... she had applied other places, and I had an ad out there somewhere. I think I put it on Harding's website, on their job employment search thing, and I think that's she would have found it through there. So
where would she stay while she's here?
So my first ask would be the Fergusons, and then I asked Marion as a backup. I figured the Fergusons might be better because they live closer, and we used Marion the last two summers.
Okay.
So I figured try to give her a break,
okay.
If we can. But if not the Fergusons, Marion has already accepted to host our intern.
Have we ever asked Kara?
To host?
Kara.
To host the intern?
No, so she's only been coming pretty regularly only the last 2-3 years, I guess. So, and then we had a year that we didn't have an intern. So then it would have been COVID. So... like since COVID, she's been coming regularly, but before COVID, that's when we really had consistent youth interns, and I don't think she was ever asked at that point.
Are you talking about hosting?
Yeah,
hosting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it would be very convenient. I would think that she would be at least a 2-bedroom home.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. Thanks.
All right. Jeremiah.
So I will give my update, and then we can go down the list.
Sounds good.
Okay, so my update is this month we are hosting our, we call it third grade Bible adventures. So basically what that is it's a time for our second graders who are transitioning to third grade in the the next school year, I had to be very clear as I was announcing it to them. This week, I had a kid like arguing with me that they would be in third grade this year. Okay. And so I'm like, okay. Anyways, so basically what that will be is a chance for them to receive a Bible, but then also they will kind of learn the books of the Bible, and then it be while using games. We'll have some pizza for them to as like, but it's one of the milestones. So that's third grade Bible Adventures. That's March 10th, and the plan is to host us during Bible class, and we'll be in the red room right over here. So there's that. We have Palm Sunday. The plan is to have the kids. I'm still kind of working logistics. I'm talking with Kaylin about this. But we will have the kids kind of enter into the auditorium with pom-poms, singing the Hosanna song. It's like, Hosanna. Y'all know that song? Okay. Yeah, the kids didn't know. They're like, we don't sing this song. Like, we actually do. Anyway, so they will be singing that song. I kind of have asked Kaylin at the worship team can also be singing it to just kind of allow some volume and just some sound good. So there's that. The last thing is Easter Sunday. Well, I guess there's two things happening then, but one opportunity that we will host is the kids will actually sing the song that they did for Christmas, Redeemer, and so we will start practicing that soon. We didn't practice it Sunday because I had a big announcement. and so the kids are excited. I told them that we were doing it. They were like, can we get solos again? And so they're excited about that. The last thing is also Easter Sunday, we will still have our Easter egg hunt, and that will happen at Tillis Park like we did last year. I'm going to start sending out some logistics. So, yeah.
And are you going to be here for that?
I will.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so the mindset will be I will probably send out in our MX Church group to see if I can get maybe some friends who are maybe retired, if they want to come have a stuffing party. Because last year it was just me and Glenn. And so, and we probably stuffed like close to 800 or 900 eggs. Mm. And they were gone like this. Mm. So I'm going to have to get more eggs. So. There's that.
Jeremiah, have you looked at buying the ones that you can get off of Oriental Trading?
That's where I buy them.
But you can get them filled, well, pre-filled, as opposed to the stuffing, and that saves you multiple hours of stuffing.
Right. The reason we don't buy those is they don't have candy. They have, like, little prize. Like, so it's, like, a little.
They used to have candy, so.
Yeah. So I guess they don't do it anymore, maybe because of COVID. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was looking at it the other day, and I was like, come on. Like, I want y'all to do this for me.
When are you planning on doing the stuffing of the eggs?
So I've started today to stuff some. But to do, like, the bulk will probably be maybe a couple of weeks.
So I was going to say, that's something I could easily put my kids up to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I like the idea, but I kind of want to get some of my older friends, like, saying, like, hey, let's do this way as a way to still be partnering with our next gen. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they don't have, our older friends don't have to do it, but I will kind of keep
if
that
they
in.
Don't.
Yeah, I'll keep that as a backup.
Okay.
Some small groups might like a service project like that, too. The food pantry always asks our small group to move some of the bulk food around when they get scouting for food in and stuff. And our group actually looks forward to that. And so there might be a small group or two that would, you know, there's a group here on Wednesday. I don't know if you guys want to do a service project one of those Wednesdays, but that's an easy one. Another group like ours could join them or something.
Yeah.
Not all retired.
I was just going to say, I'm hearing Dave say that his group would like to do that. We'll give y'all eggs and candy.
We have a lot of retired folks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's all I have.
Really?
I know, short and sweet.
Okay, so let's try to work through some of this stuff, see how much that we accomplish, and see what part of it is going to be really helpful. So I thought it'd be helpful to understand kind of the process that you went through, you know, in terms of making your decision, you know, to accept the position of the Hills, and if there are any extenuating circumstances around that that kind of maybe sparked the whole process. Yeah, if it was fine, if it wasn't fine, but. Yeah. But just kind of get a sense of that, and then let's just start there. Just, you know, okay. The process, and then whatever, if there were circumstances, that we can talk about those as well.
Yeah, so as far as processes and circumstances, let me say, and I stand by this 100%, McKnight did not do anything wrong. I have truly been loved super well by this church, and I mean, as I was talking with Steve, that is like the most like loud thing that I want everyone to hear, like because I really have been loved well. People like giving up their homes to let me live in it, or people taking me out, and so I've been loved well here at McKnight. As I was interviewing early on, one of the things that I kind of shared, you know, the church that I was leaving in Fayetteville. We had a large young adults group, and I always tell people it's like my small group, but large group, because we had like 40, like just in my small group alone, there were 40 young adults in there. And in there, I had maybe 20 of us were like my closest friends, right? That's a lot, but I mean, still. They were the people that I did life with, and they kind of were also in the same stage of life as me. And so I felt a little more accountability. And so here it's been, and so I kind of said that that was like one of the most important things for me having successfulness in a job. And so we started the young adults group here, and then that young adults group just died out. And I'll just be real, and I mean, Nathan could echo this, it probably needed to die out, you know, just being real. I think we were misaligned in a lot of the things that we were doing. We weren't doing real Bible studies, which was kind of one of the dissatisfactions for Adam. And so it was kind of like we were kind of towing some lines, right? Would you say that? And so that became hard. I shared with Jeff, like, as we were kind of going through this, like, I don't know, like, I love these people, but like our group is horrible. It's just the truth. And so since then that group has died. And so now it's like really have been like, we have a small group that meets on Sunday. And then I have my awesome group that I meet with once a month. And so like that was community for me. But also all of those individuals, except Nathan, are either with children, grandchildren, or, and so it just became really, really hard. And I started to notice that, not that I was getting disinterested at McKnight, because I don't think that that's what it was, but I just was like, I need people that, outside of Nathan, who I see every waking moment.
That's a lot.
Yeah. People who can like really just invest in Jeremiah, that is also going like in the same life stage and kind of ready to like look for, well, I don't know if I'm ready to look for a mate, but at some point I would like to. And so that was kind of what, how this kind of led. Is that helpful?
You didn't even mention the revival of the young adults group and then the re-death.
That was it, yes. We had a revival, if you would call it that, and we met like 2 weeks.
We had like a pre-official meeting to talk about what do we want this to look like, and then we
met for one thing.
And we had some of the other young adults from Acts even join us.
And, you know, I'll just be real. Like, one of the things that I kind of And I think Nathan probably also, I mean, because we had a lot of conversations. What we started to notice was normal for that group is, like, they did not want to talk about the Bible. And so it was like, this is a group of community. Like, we just want community. And I'm like, that's cool, but we are still a small group through McKnight. And so I think everything else needs to follow.
Well, I'd say it's probably evenly split amongst those who wanted to talk about the Bible and those who didn't.
Right. I guess that's true. Yeah. And so, I don't know, I just felt like, and then once we would do Bible studies, it was like we're like pulling teeth almost.
It did not come easy, is what you're saying.
Right, absolutely.
If not just plain dysfunctional.
Yeah. Right. And so I don't want to presume to say that, like, oh, a young adults group won't ever happen at McKnight. But I just couldn't see it in the near future for myself. And so I had to ask myself a question, would I be happy long term without this? And I think the answer is no. Okay. So that was.
I appreciate it because you were really forthright during the process about how important it was to you. And I appreciate you trying to build it because we talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not here now, maybe let's try to build it.
Right.
And you guys did make an effort to do that. So I do appreciate that. Yeah. But I think you had a really good experience in Texas when you went down there that you saw, you know, what you were looking for. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I took, a couple of vacation days, but I forgot about the second day. Anyways, and so I went and I kind of hung out with my brother and he took me to the hills and because he goes there for small group. And
basically,
so,
he goes there for the social relationship. I mean, well, not just social, but but spiritual relationships of people who are in his same
group. Yeah, because, I mean, his church is a Church of Christ, and they don't have a small group. And so he has found that outside of his specific church. And so we went to this young adults night. And, like, y'all, I mean, when I say these people, like, these young people my age were on fire for the Lord. Like, I was hearing, like, statements like, we want to like honor the Lord with our sexuality and with our bodies. And we were, it was February. So, I mean, every church around town were doing a relationships panel and all of this stuff. And so it was just kind of cool to be at like this table and hearing these people my age say like, this is what we feel like God is calling us to. And so I thought it was super neat. And I just kind of was like, Isaiah, is this like normal? And he's like, yeah, this is us. And I mean, my brother's on fire for the Lord in general, but like, he's like literally, I mean, one of the girls had just gotten baptized. And I mean, she was just talking about how like on fire she was for God. And so I don't know. I just felt like, okay, Lord, I think this may be it. So.
Okay. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody have any questions about?
Yeah, you know anybody that is like you that we could.
As a matter of fact,
you seriously have more connections with children's ministers than about anybody in the country.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to help.
Yes, he's going to help us with that. We were definitely going to talk about that. So thank you for that as well. I thought it'd be helpful to get a sense of how, you know, you're really connected with the families that you work with. And have a sense of kind of their spiritual health, you know, to maybe even more intimately than some of us. So if you can maybe share with us kind of where things are, where you see, where we can make, since you're going to be, you know, God's calling somewhere else, we don't want to neglect those families that might need someone to walk alongside them, what you've been doing, basically. And so give us a sense of, you know, some of the things that you feel really good about in terms of families and maybe specific families that you see, and then also maybe some families that maybe that can that we need to pay some closer attention to since you're going to be moving along. So help us understand that.
Yeah. And so I want to start that part. When I read that one, I mean, I'm going to just be very honest and very vulnerable here. I don't think I did a great job. I mean, Jason thinks that I did and Steve thinks that I did, but I don't think that I did, of really reaching the families the way that I wanted to. I would spend time with families, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tried to kind of touch base a lot of the time with families, but I don't think that I was the best in that area.
Okay.
It probably looked like that way, just because, like, when I'd see the kids, like on Sundays, I was like actively loving on them well and kind of hearing their stories. And like I said on Sunday, like having hard, difficult conversations with kids, like in children's worship, but also separate, you know, things that I don't think that, I don't know. So, but what I think from just noticing a lot of the children, I think, like, I'm not worried about our children. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I think that they are wrestling with some, like, deeper theological things. But outside of that, I can say that our children are, like, children who are, like, well-loved and well-taken care of. I would say, like, as that pertains to McKnight, I don't know what parents are thinking. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, just from our council, I mean, most of them are parents. And I think that me announcing my resignation was a blow. Mm-hmm. But I think that they are resilient. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Is that helpful?
It is. It is. And I'm going to encourage you, because you said this sprung on you later, earlier, or late. And so I would like to encourage you maybe to give us some thoughts.
Yeah.
And if you can maybe help us, there's some specific people that come to mind as you're interacting
yeah.
over the next couple of weeks yeah. to help us to figure out, is there some family that we really need to make sure we,
yeah.
you know, provide some support to?
Yeah, so. I would say maybe the Waltons. I mean, because they're, I would say the Corneliuses also, they're mm-hmm. relatively new. I would even throw in Joyce. I mean, I, not that I foresee her leaving, mm-hmm. but I knew that she was struggling with it hardcore on Sunday. I was like one of the people who kind of yeah. got her here.
She even shared that with me.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And, but like, I think the cool thing that I've seen, especially with Joyce, is that she's in a small group, mm-hmm. right? So thank you mm-hmm. and you, because you are in that group. But then also, I think that she is connected well with Nathan.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Rosaline loves that youth group. Yeah. And Maelo is one of those kids who's like, I can't wait to get in youth group because I hate everything over here. No. No, he doesn't say that. But I definitely know that he can't wait to be over with the fun people, right? Because Mr. Jeremiah is not fun.
But we're not all fun, as you see.
But y'all do trips. So they want to go on those kinds
yeah.
of things.
Yeah.
Skating and all that. Anyways. And so those are the people that I would say just okay. because they're relatively new.
Okay.
And so,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's some parents in here, they could ask.
Yeah, but you had three very important
yeah.
ones.
Yes.
Right there. I think those were yeah. three spot on. And Leslie wasn't here Sunday.
She's working.
The time. She's mm-hmm. working on Sunday? No, okay.
Yeah.
But the kids were here.
Right.
With Ryan.
Right. And they yeah. were so excited yeah. to be here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I felt bad kind of sharing.
Yeah, yeah. My news. Tough. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, number three. So in terms of the ministry evolving, kind of if you were kind of projecting some of the things that maybe are in place that you see could be very beneficial for us to keep those things in place. Mm-hmm. And just share what you think in terms of if you're projecting the ministry forward.
Yeah.
Where you see some of the things there.
Yeah. I have calendars that I'll give everyone of just our MX Kids events, and I'll save that for 5 then. Mm-hmm. But I would say the last meeting that we had with our council, one of the things that I heard kind of loudly was most of the parents said, like, what we want you to do more compared to those, like, little connecting events, those larger things that families are, like, so your trunk or treat or your VBS or your, they're like, those are the things we want you to continue doing big. Because for most of to use Ross or to use Kate, like they're driving 30 minutes out. Jeff, I think you kind of have a similar commute. And so they're like those like random events, like, yeah, you can have less of those. But we want you to do more of those bigger things mm-hmm. and do those, execute those well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Just the required investment to get it on the calendar and to make it happen it works better as a bigger deal.
Right, right.
Not, you're not necessarily saying do the same events that we've done. Mm-hmm. You're just saying whatever the events that they are,
right,
they need to have,
yeah,
be kind of meaty.
Right, right. And so, like, that would be, like, our father-daughter, bless you, father-daughter date night. Yeah. That would be some of these other big things that people want to, yeah, like, that's not a two-hour event, even though that's a two-hour event. Yeah. So
that, there again, if you can maybe list some of those things for us, make sure we have, yeah, those documented, mm-hmm, so we, as we move it forward, we got something that we can refer to and reference, yeah, as we think about this. Mm-hmm. In terms of leadership, right? In terms, mm-hmm, of a couple of things there. Take me out of the equation.
Okay.
Or maybe include me in the equation, because you may have felt that you needed more from me as well. So let us know in terms of, did you have an interaction and access to the leaders when you needed things? And if you had Jeff, you know, Jeff was there, right there for you, but... you know, sometimes you may need a different perspective, and a lot of times when you did talk with me, we would circle back to Jeff, sometimes, you know, a lot of those things to make sure that everybody was linked up together. But I wanted to kind of think along those lines, and then in terms of the ministry in particular, in terms of your day-to-day, your tackling and blocking day-to-day, you know, in terms of leadership, what are some of the things that you see where we can maybe... Yeah, more.
I don't know how to answer that question initially.
Okay.
Because I think that, I mean, y'all have done a great job of, like, saying, okay, work less, which also, like, I'm a one, so, like, telling me to work less kind of, like, annoyed me. But I love y'all. I do love you. And so, yes, but, like, outside of that, I felt like I had good people, like, walking alongside. I'd get calls from you guys asking, like, how are you doing? What's going on? What's new? And so, yeah, I don't necessarily think that y'all have done anything wrong. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then opportunities. I mean, I think I'd love to see more of a presence in our children's ministry from my leadership, because I think kind of what Nathan has, like, made clear is that our kids don't know you, right? Mm-hmm. They know some of you, right? But I wouldn't say as a whole that they know you. Mm-hmm. I was looking at a document from the past, and I guess at one point we did, like, serving teams or something, and I saw a lot of your names on there, and I'm like, well, where are these people at now? And so, I mean, Debbie does an amazing job, you know. Gwen and Michelle and Beata, Alicia also, Hannah, and so Sue, yeah, I can't forget any of me. So we have a lot of your wives present. But I think it would be helpful for especially our young boys to see someone outside of Mr. Jeremiah or Mr. Steve, you know, because they're used to us, or Mr. Charles, I guess that's all the guys who serve, or Ben Mayer, he's the other person. But outside of us four guys, seeing more of the men who are actively in leadership serving also alongside. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe you might say then, well, you haven't asked us. But, you know, kind of one of the visions that I've put out in front of the church, and I feel like I keep bringing up, is one of the things that I have said yes to, that I felt like the Lord was saying from heaven, is, like, we want 7 new discipleship leaders. So we don't call them volunteers in the children's ministry, because I decided to change that intentionally, because I want the leaders in my space to know, like, you are not a volunteer. A volunteer means that you have no stock in it, right? Mm-hmm. But you have stock. Like, if you have an opinion, I'm going to listen to it, and I may wrestle with it, and we may not do the thing that you've asked, but we definitely will have conversations about it, right? Mm-hmm. And then also, what I'm asking them to do is a hard job. It's not easy, right, to invest in children. So,
okay. The calendar. So you want to share?
Yeah.
So there are some specific things that are really hard on the calendar, like an ink kind of thing that would be. And have you invested in terms of dollars spent on anything that we should be expecting to be shipped based on something that's coming down the pipe? And is this something that, you know, does it have an expiration date on it? So if we decide that we may not want to do that thing this year, can we use it next year? Just give us a sense of kind of where things are.
Yeah, so I'm definitely a pre-planner, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so I love, one of the things that I like to do is put everything in front of our family's face so that they're not surprised, right? Mm-hmm. And so most families would have received these either because I normally have them outside of the check-in desk. And so as they are checking their kids in, they can pick forms. Anyways, and so you'll see March 16th, the mother-daughter tea, for your record, that has been canceled. That is a volunteer-led thing. We have had a lot of families basically say, we won't be here for that, or that weekend is just bad for us, right?
Okay.
I wrestled with Valerie and Peggy because I was like, oh, I think we still should do it. But then I had to say, oh, I have to drop some news for you, too. You won't be hearing this. They've kind of decided, like, hey, can we move that more to a, like, as a fall event compared to this happening this spring, so that it gives families a better chance. I kind of told them, like, our church is late to everything, and so, like, they're late to register for things. And so that's probably the reason why we have low attendance, but they had talked, I mean, they did their work with asking families, and they just, the people that they talked to said they wouldn't be available.
Okay.
So that's canceled. Take that off.
Okay.
Church bowling is coming up. We have not, I have that on there because that's something I lead. Mm-hmm. and so we have not invested any dollars or any of that kind of stuff, but I'm planning to kind of, we don't reserve the whole alley, we just reserve lanes. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I'll still be here. And so I would say, like, and even if I'm not, I think that's something that we can still do, because all you really need is a human being who can, like, take the money from our people. Mm-hmm. That's it. And it was a well-attended event last year. So, third grade Bible adventures, that has changed, and so I'm updating this calendar. And I moved that up to March because I wanted to be, because it's a milestone, I wanted to be the person in charge of it.
Perfect.
So there's that. Passing the torch, fifth grade graduation celebration. Sorry, I'm just walking through each of these events.
I think more what he was asking actually was more in terms of finance.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Oh,
and okay. So it's okay, because I don't think we have to necessarily hit all these.
Oh, yeah.
Where have we committed resources, or where do we need to commit resources? Yeah.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say we've committed any resources to anything currently, if that makes sense.
Okay.
The VBS, you have not bought anything?
I have not bought anything because I was writing everything. So we didn't do like a bought curriculum.
Well, as soon as you finish that, send it to
me. He's been waiting on it. And so, yeah.
Okay.
Jeremiah, which of the things on this list do you think your leadership group considers the big events? There are a few that we can make sure we highlight in their mind what they're thinking.
Yeah, I think a big event that I'm looking at currently, like, so I think the third grade Bible adventures, because that is a milestone, I would say anything that's a milestone is important. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so that would be our third grade Bible adventures. That would be our MX Explorers graduation. And so I started talking with Debbie last night as I was at her home for the mystery meal about, like, hey, are you okay with leading this out? And I think she's okay with that. We give, so that is something that we've already put money into, because like we already have like the Jesus Storybook Bibles, those kinds of things.
Okay.
And I, like I said, I pre-do things, so I bought those last year. Okay. Anyways, passing the torch, fifth grade graduation, that's something that me and Nathan do together. And so I would say that's important. Because it is a milestone.
Okay. So that's when the kids will be actually transitioning from your group to Nathan's group. Okay.
So that's kind of like when we, you know, we celebrate them, but then I come in and say, like, hey, this is what youth group is about. Mm-hmm. But they wouldn't officially transition because that's the Friday before graduation Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then we would do a passing the torch speech from one of the seniors. Mm-hmm. And then they would officially join at the summer kickoff.
Okay.
Which would be May 31st.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that seemed like that's meaningful. We need to maybe figure out how to get that done for sure. Is that considered a milestone, I'm assuming? Okay.
Yes,
okay.
It's a milestone. Sorry.
Okay.
Something we started last year that I felt like Kate was like excited about was the MX Explorers camp. So that was like a 2-day event where we just allowed our preschoolers to come. Jeff saw it and it was the one that we had the parachute.
Yeah.
And Gwen helped with that. And so I would think that that would be maybe something that they would like to do again, but also
Kate Schneider.
Yeah. Okay. So little Mackenzie was here, her grandma.
Okay.
Brother.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. So I think that would be something that they would like to do again, but I think it's flexible.
Okay.
Right? And then I would say maybe the other big things would be our trunk or treats, father-daughter date night, which father-daughter date night has already passed, so I've already done that one. Trunk or treats, Easter egg hunt, mm-hmm. which I know that that's been a steeple, something I tried to get rid of, but it didn't work.
Yeah. You sure be here for that this year, so that you'll get us through that this year. Right? You'll be here for that.
Totally. We'll get rid of it next year.
Yeah.
Well, I planned it all out, but.
Okay, well, that's good.
So yeah.
Okay. All right.
Parent commitment, that there's babies, but I mean, hopefully we have a new children's minister by then.
Depends on how you do sending them our way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I do have someone in mind, but should I pause? Let's hope Steve.
You can. I know.
This is someone who I think would be great because, I mean, she's on our council, but Kate Schneider. I know she works in the school, and so, I mean, that may be a hard bargain, but I think she would do fantastic because she already thinks about a lot of this stuff. Does that make sense? And so I think she would be, I mean, one of the things that I asked her to do, because she was overseeing like the Boundless Ministry was, anytime that we're having a kid who's kind of just struggling, if you would come in and just kind of watch and then give me some tips on like how we can engage this individual. And I mean, she has done a great job of saying yes to doing things like that. So I think she would be great and my role, but if she was to say no, then
okay.
Are you saying like as a full time or like a part time? Like,
I would say she would probably need to be full time. I mean, she's full time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you explored that with her?
Nope.
At all?
Nope. Nope. Yeah. But I'm just bringing it up to this group so you can.
I mean, she came up incidentally in our meeting last
did.
Week.
Yeah.
Look at the Lord aligning.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean. I think would have the right aptitude, background, everything, but whether she has the, you know, the heart and whether the, you know, finance, she has a job. I don't know if she loves her job. I think she loves the type of work she's trained in.
Right.
In speech pathology. So this would be a little bit of a.
It'd know, be different.
It'd be different.
Yeah.
And but, she's off on the summers, or is she work off in the summer?
Yeah, she.
I think she works because
she's year round.
Yeah, because like VBS, I knew that. She was like, oh, I can't do it today.
You have some other people that are out of state too that you may want to, we can talk
just
about that
thoughts.
Later.
Just thoughts. Yeah. I have a friend, her name's Kaya. She works at a church called Sugar Creek, Sugar Cove. I can't remember. It's in Houston. But she is a Black woman, and I know that probably doesn't mean a thing right now, but we're in a book club, and so there was a reason I brought that up. Anyways, blah, blah, blah. But like, she has a passion for preaching also. And I mean, the woman can preach. I mean, and so it was kind of cool to like see someone who is like, yes, my heart is children's ministry, but I also love this other piece. She is currently getting her MDiv at ACU. And so that's a thought. She hadn't been at her church long, but I think that's okay. I knew she was having some struggles. So when I did Summit, she came, that's how we met each other. And she was just sharing about some hard things that she was struggling with her elders about. And so I was like, oh, interesting. I'm gonna keep you in the back of my brain just in case you're ever
she's
looking.
Currently the children's minister there?
Sugar Cove something, yeah.
Sugar Cube, like, yeah.
What's whatever.
K-I-A?
K-A-Y-A. Kaya Cole. So that's just kind of a thought that I had.
So at some point, are you comfortable if we decide reaching out to her? Okay, all right. Okay.
I hadn't told her that I put her name out there, but I totally can.
Does she know? She knows you. Does she know you're moving on to?
Well, she was supposed to be in our meeting today, but then someone died in their church.
Oh, okay.
No. So she had to miss our meeting, but I'm going to tell her tonight.
Okay, you know? Good. Okay. All right. So let's talk about timing of the departure.
Yeah.
So the Hills, they actually requested you like the before Easter initially, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. And now I think the what's on the table is the week after Easter. Mm-hmm. Is that correct? And so is there flexibility? I mean, we don't want to get in the way of what God has in mm-hmm. store for you. We also want to acknowledge that maybe the longer we can help you to, you know, keep you here to help us transition, you know, that would be helpful to us and our children as well. So I just want to get a sense of kind of how much flexibility do you see in terms of what the Hills will be willing to do, and then and we can maybe talk through some of that.
Yeah. So after I said, I can't do Easter because I want to do Easter with my church, they said, okay, well, April 1st, and I brought that to Steve, and Steve's like, oh, that's still a little rushed. And so I received my offer letter today, and they had April 15th on there.
Okay. That's, I mean, you guys, April 15th.
And how do you feel with that? I mean,
you may need some
breathing room.
Yeah, breathing.
Yeah, you said to have some space between the jobs.
Yeah.
Well, as I was talking with Peggy, that's what she said. She said, yeah, you don't want to do that. Because that's just Peggy.
But that's almost 2 weeks, though, isn't it? Between Easter here and the time you'd start.
It is. That's exactly 2 weeks. Mm. But right. I guess the question was,
like, when if he, finishing
here.
Him here
which week would he be? Yeah, we would.
Kind of
April
like 15th
seems
Sunday
like they compromised. And they kind of came up with a compromise.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could always go back and push on that, too. But that seems somewhat more reasonable.
We split it and said the 8th or something, you know. And then they'd give you a week off.
But we're keeping him for an extra month.
Well,
so if you think about whoever's working, Brett, if you gave your 2 weeks, you would only expect to work 2 weeks. If I gave my 2 weeks, I would be out tomorrow.
Yeah.
They would not let me come back in the building.
And the other
I know the situations. I mean, it's
corporate America,
right?
So
the other I would say is I would not counsel you to take any time off between jobs. I would work from here up to then. I would say take a week of vacation, sometime before then. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you got time off, I would say take a week, go down there, find a place, and then. To gap it, you know, it's just there's some headaches.
You're saying that more from a pay standpoint?
I would just say, you know, you got to worry about COBRA and all that sort of stuff. And and if you got time off, it's like, well, just say, well, let's go to the 14th, and then you can take a week off, and we can work with you on either side of that. And so I just something to think about. That's what I would do if it were me. I would I would work right up to it and just take some time off.
You're so good. Okay.
Not that I'm telling what you do, but
I've heard that somewhere before.
I'm rubbing off.
And maybe we don't have to decide this in this big group here per se, but I think we now know the parameters, which we didn't until this discussion. So that's helpful. And we can kind of work through
Is that helpful?
I think so.
I think so. I think so. I think we're agreeing that we understand that the 15th, that is now the date, whereas kind of going into this, we were thinking, ooh, we got to, if Jeremiah's going to get down there by the 1st, that's going to be a little tough. And so that was what we were hoping to negotiate, and they were willing to, already did, kind of did a little bit of heavy lifting. So we'll work backward from that now and see what is.
And both churches need to be flexible with this transition with both of their needs.
Did they do us, are they doing an Easter launch, or are they going to get it? Or do you know?
So
it was our first service.
So I think, so originally the plan was to be like already launched before Easter.
Okay.
But from my understanding, he was like, I want you on the ground, which is why he was saying, I'd like you here by Easter.
Yeah.
That they will be already moved into a building by Easter. So.
Okay.
And they're probably shocked that they were able to get somebody by Easter.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, so they're getting somebody earlier than they probably anticipated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, appreciate your announcement yesterday. And I think we need to think about, okay, is there anything we need to follow up with? And then the parents who were not there, is there something we need to do? Because they're going to hear about it eventually. Do you think you need to be involved in communicating anything to some of the parents that were not there to hear from you firsthand? Mm-hmm. And if so, what should that look like? You know, I want to kind of get a sense of what you're thinking along those lines.
Mm-hmm. I think that Jason had a great idea about kind of sending out like the video live stream, with just like the clip of like the announcement and then what Steve was saying, because he felt like it honored me well, but also our church well, to where people wouldn't be like, oh, he's leaving because he's upset, or kind of all these crazy thoughts.
They get a little more context.
Right, right. What I'd like to do is send out an email, just maybe my resignation email that I kind of read yesterday, so that then they have that, you know, typed up. But then I think maybe something from the elders too would be wise.
Okay.
You mean to have Brian pull the video?
I think that would be wise. Yeah.
Because, yeah, he's the only one that's going to be able to put it together from the YouTube. So he's the only one with the access.
Yeah.
Well, I can do it. It's easy enough. You can tag it at the time, and so you can just link to that. So I can get you that link.
No, he can actually just pull the actual clip. So he has the actual access to the actual, the whole video.
Well, I would not, I would just give him a link. You're not going to want to put a video in an email. So just click the link and it starts wherever it starts. Yeah.
That's fine too.
Okay. That's what I do.
Yeah, I think because I was on the phone with Arstine today, Dickerson, and I kind of shared it because she was like, we were talking about Easter, and she was like, hey, something feels weird. And I was like, oh, let me give you this piece of information because I don't think I saw you yesterday. And so then immediately she just said, oh no, like, the Waltons, like, what are those boys gonna think, or what are they gonna do? And so they weren't at church on Sunday, so they don't have that information. And so I was like, oh yeah, we kind of need to play catch up in a way.
And maybe, frankly, preemptively calling somebody like Greg and Olivia would be even more I still would have them watch the video because I think they could get the overall feel, and they will, but even a call would be good.
Yeah.
And I think they're one of the only families that wasn't there yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Shannon, I don't think Shannon was there. She wasn't there.
The Grimshaws, the Hannah.
Oh, the Grimshaws, oh yeah.
Yeah. They were taking care of them. She knows already. Yeah. So.
Gotcha. Good.
Jamie.
Let's talk through that, see if there's anybody else there.
We were kind of lucky yesterday, speaking of. Like, as far as kid-wise. We normally have, like, 20-ish. So, like, Zeke wasn't there, but... I'm trying to think of
the other kids
I didn't see.
Okay. So we'll talk more about number 8. And I think we'll talk about the job description as well. Do that need to be tweaked? We'll figure that out. And then once we are comfortable with the job description, you'll have something to put forward to some of the candidates you have in mind, at least those 1 or 2.
And so, we talked about that today, and we'll draw on the one that we've already, the job description he's been using, but then we'll update it, and then try to do a couple different things. I've asked Jeremiah to do. One is to document, really, and Brett will appreciate this, but in a Google Doc, kind of the what I call the executive overview of what happens week to week and month to month and who's in charge of it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it might say children's worship and then, or it might say Debbie's class and then Debbie, or it might say Jeremiah and there's no Jeremiah. So then we know we've got a hole there. Yeah. Okay, and so we'll try to do that on both a, as it relates to the job description, but then the specifics of what volunteers are being used and when these events happen on a weekend and week out. Basis.
Yeah.
And so we'll be able to kind of probe from that.
Yeah. I think the other thing with the job description, when we reshuffled the office responsibilities, I think you may have picked up a few things that are not on the job description.
Yeah, he's done really well at the items as assigned.
Yeah. those will probably continue, so we probably need to think about even adding some of that to the job description maybe. But, okay.
Or he could continue doing them remote.
Technology's great,
I'm
right?
I really love this.
Jeremiah, we need a banner.
That's it. Yeah.
So, number 9. Jeff, you have some thoughts about number 9.
Well, yeah, number 9, basically when we spoke this morning, and again, we don't have to flush it out too much here, but I just wondered if there was anything that, okay, we get to April 9th, and that next week or two where we're like, oh, we have got to get, in other words, there's going to be two things here. There's going to be a long-term plan where we have a new person in place, but in the short term, what are the major holes that we're going to have, that the gaps that we need to fill? And that's what I was trying to get at.
With that question.
Gotcha. And again, I don't know how much time we have to spend on that tonight, but I think that's, it may be somewhat important for that to be heard beyond the staff.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so that we can collectively be thinking about how do we pursue those those volunteers. So that's what that was.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to address anything on that?
Yeah, I'd like to just really quick. So, like, I have our leaders scheduled through May 26th.
Okay.
Just they receive, like, January through May is kind of how that works. And then I would then do, like, a summer calendar and then of, like, when they serve and then a fall calendar. And so most of them will do the same thing. So, like, they serve once a month. And so I have, like, most of those holes kind of already plugged, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The only ones would be where I'm serving. So, like, children's worship. So the reason I brought this up is If I can get some of you maybe to step into children's worship, I can show you what children's worship looks like. Maybe you come in one Sunday before I leave or a couple of Sundays before I leave so you can kind of see what that does look like. And then kind of take it out of my hands, you know, because I serve in there twice a month, just in the big group. And then I, the third week of the month, I serve in our MX Explorers room, which is our preschool room, which I think I have like awesome leaders in there who may want to double up. I mean, like do 2 weeks compared to one, but I can talk.
Jeremy, who does big time the other 2 weeks?
So the second week, so I teach the first week in children's worship. Eric McPherson teaches the second week, and then the Bardawells teach the third week, and then back to me the fourth week.
And you say in the fifth week, they're in the auditorium.
Okay, I was like, we do the family worship.
The family worship that week.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Yeah. Any follow-up questions from anybody?
Thanks, Steve, for the good prep.
Okay. I think if you guys, unless you guys have some other thoughts, this next piece we can maybe even let the vision team work on some of this. And but if you have some specific things you want us to address in terms of transition period and search team, we can definitely take that offline and work with some of that. So I just want to put that out there to see if you guys have any thoughts on what the transition should look like and what you would like us to work on as a vision team. And, you know, any thoughts on the search team for Jeremiah's position. But what are you guys thinking? Anything along those lines?
You're talking about under the elders, ministers, under the children's ministry transition.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes. It's a gap period. Right.
Yeah, I think the vision elders can manage that on, you know, transitioning. You know, I don't know if there's anyone we could hire part-time, like a Valerie Creech or something, and say, hey, you know, we've got to fill this gap. You're great at this. You know, can you take this part-time? We can pay you for it. If there's anybody else like that. But I think, you know, there's people that have that talent. So. Mm-hmm.
Her name was brought up last Wednesday.
Okay.
Valerie.
Yeah. Steve and I, the vision guys, got together.
Yeah, I think the search team, I think they're prime, Ross. Are you open?
Okay,
good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Ross was working.
I assumed I was going to be an
Part of it.
Yeah, Ross worked on the team with Jeremiah. I think, you know, that was a good experience for all of us. And so I think
Jason back.
Jason, definitely for sure. Kate Schneider. Melanie, those are, you probably don't have to be as big as it was the first time, I think, because people kind of went through it once already, and so they got a sense of what to expect. And so, you know, I think that was the primary players that I was thinking about. If you guys have some other
people. Probably Matthew Bardawell as well.
Definitely. I forgot about Matthew. Yeah, Matthew's the other guy. Yes.
We're getting some pretty good practice in doing
search. Oh, my God. Too good.
Cypher's going to hire us. We'll do all that.
But I think more of a leadership role from the group, you know, Jason and Ross, we take more of a leadership, you know, role. Anybody else on the team is capable of doing it as well, but just let those guys lead out on a lot of the things, and I'll be there to support any kind of way. But that's just a thought. So we'll work through some of that. But those are kind of the thought process on that. You guys have anything else? Yeah.
I would like to have some say in the search for a children's minister, considering I would partner with them. Probably
this could be your roommate too, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's a single girl.
Yeah.
Then I would work out.
Okay.
Just to say, because Jeremiah and I worked hand-in-hand on a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Plenty of next-gen events.
We'll love to have you be a part of it.
Experience for you, too. You want to be a part of the committee.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You want to be a part of the committee? Are you a... Okay,
yes.
Great.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
At least, if not the committee, at least like the interview process.
Committee. No.
I think it's a good thing to have Nathan a part of
me
the committee
too.
Because I do think what he has done for me is kind of listen to me bounce ideas off of him. Like, hey, I think I'm thinking about this. And yeah. So I think he can kind of answer a lot of those, especially milestone questions.
Yeah, I think the next important. Gen vision that we've already laid out, he's going to know that. We've already had yeah. those.
So you're going to feel more rested in the next few months probably, aren't you?
And summer's coming up. And
all right, thanks, Nathan.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
totally. If we're focused on the next gen, if that's our priority, then I feel I should be on that.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Perfect. Steve?
Welcome up.
Yeah, I spent all day working on my bathroom, boy. I think I'm one short on here. This is just kind of an up-to-date on the soft search, and Steve and Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong on any of these. We have four guys in the hopper, I'll say, right now.
Thank you.
The first guy that got in is Michael Santiago. He lives in Abilene, Texas. He's a youth minister at the University of Church of Christ. He's married with one child. I met with him at NCYM in January. We've given each of you the link to a sermon he did Christmas Eve. I've talked to him on the phone, and right now we're working on having Steve and Jeff are planning a pre-Zoom Zoom week or next. We call it a pre-Zoom Zoom because originally we were having a phone call, and we're like, I'm not sure if none of us knew if we could really put together a conference call. We're like, how will Zoom would be better anyway? So that's why we're calling it a pre-Zoom Zoom.
So
that's Michael Santiago.
So I don't understand what the pre-Zoom Zoom is.
Well,
I mean,
Steve actually had a phone conversation with him already.
Right.
He met him. And so this slot really called for more formal phone conversation.
There were a series of questions.
Right, so that was the first Zoom was, you know, if you could be a tree, what kind of a tree would you be? What's your favorite color? Those kinds of things. And then,
we haven't had that yet. I've just had I called him last week just to say, because I hadn't talked to him in a month, so I just want to let him know that we're still looking at this and tell him we wanted to have a pre-Zoom Zoom with him.
My question is, what is that? Is it just to talk about
to see if we want to, if it's a, we'll decide if we want to continue to have him in the search.
Yeah.
So that wasn't, so in the decision tree that you put out, there wasn't a pre-Zoom Zoom, I'm
confused by the nomenclature.
Yeah.
Right.
I think it said there was a phone interview.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. To go through the initial, there's like HR questions. To go through the HR questions, then we're going to go through the ministry questions. So this is to talk through the HR questions.
They're not really HR.
Not HR.
Okay.
Just to see if he's a
somebody we want to bring back to the larger group.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a pre-screening.
I went through a pre-screening.
But it's on those list of HR type-ish questions, right? Those 10? Is that what that's...
Not the color of tree.
Those? No, okay. No, like your greatest... What's your greatest strength, your greatest weakness? It's not that list of questions.
Here's us. Right. Yeah. What we're about, what we're looking to do. Tell us.
A little more casual. Okay.
Yeah.
Getting to know
him. Okay. Because I didn't get a good feel for what that was. So it sounded like the first one was... Is there any reason why we shouldn't look at this guy? Right. And so you go through like the interview questions, those HR ones.
Yes.
And then the next one was, you know, what are the positives? You know, what? So the first one was just looking for weeding out the bad. The second one was looking for the good. And so you're talking about the first one.
I don't know. I didn't distinguish it the way you're describing it, Brad.
Yeah, I wasn't following you with that.
Yeah, we're off script a little bit, to be honest with you.
Okay, so on that decision tree? Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, we are off script.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
So you're just going to have an interview. So this pre-Zoom thing, you're just going to have an interview.
We just thought it would be more, we can gather more information, get a better sense of who he was to do a Zoom as opposed to a phone.
Right.
So we decided to do the Zoom.
Okay.
And I think this might end up being a better option in reality.
Because the next one might be, he looks good. We need somebody else to kind of look at this. And so we might invite, if you're open to it, invite you in.
Well, that makes sense,
When it comes to the Zoom, they'll already have input as to and feel like he is a valid candidate.
Okay.
He's valid candidate for of the larger group.
Yes. Yes.
Interview.
Yes.
Is this one where you're going to record it and let us see it?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I thought that was the second one.
It was the second one.
Yeah.
It was the second one.
Now, since they're doing Zoom both times, they're going to record both of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So this is the pre-interview. Okay. So yes. Not pre-Zoom, yes. Zoom. Yes. But yeah. Let's say it's
I'm too literal. It's my Asperger's. My Asperger's is kicking in. It's like,
well, then you got Audrey over here making up a decision.
Yeah, but yeah. Yeah.
He's saying, what decision?
Right.
Yeah.
So in when you went with my soft search and hard search,
I mean, literally, in my head, I am doing
I know,
like linear programming. It's like, yeah. I don't see it.
No,
so.
This is not working.
All right, so I'm with you. Okay.
All right, so now we'll go to the next one. We'll see how I did on this one.
Yeah.
The next one is...
The link to the sermon, I need to tune into that. Is that an email from you?
Yes.
It was in the last meeting notes, too, so I'll send them out again.
It was with the...
I think the resume.
So the resume and the sermon were all
together.
I think so, weren't they?
Yeah.
Or was it separate?
And it was in my meeting notes. So
yeah, I looked at the resume the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Probably two or three different links.
Yeah. With the yes.
Okay.
Okay. We'll see how I did the next.
That was painful. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep going.
This next guy is Josh Nix. I first got his name through Ted Krigler. He said, here's a guy that he knows. He's in a ministry group with him, with Jim.
Yeah,
Jim Martin. So he's in with that.
Okay.
And he just happened to be at a church that I know two of the elders are pretty good friends with. He lives in Memphis. He grew up in Memphis. His wife, I think, grew up in Memphis also, this Josh Nix. He's presently finishing up a preaching apprenticeship at Sycamore View Church of Christ with Josh Ross. Mm-hmm. And so Josh and I know each other a little bit. He's been there about 15 years.
Good guy.
Love yeah, Josh. Good guy. He's a good preacher. Mm-hmm. And he got to Sycamore View, just a new guy and kind of a diamond in the rough is what one of my friends there. He said when he first got him, was like, he wasn't sure about him, and he's just come out to be a diamond in the rough. So he's going to be finishing up this preaching apprenticeship in May. So
okay.
Then the timing there is not bad. Mm-hmm. Working with that. I've had initial contact with him, and the way I had initial was through the two elders. One of the elders had us a text together. And
it wasn't a Zoom.
Wasn't a Zoom.
It wasn't a pre-Zoom.
Just a text. Oh, okay. So we did a pretext. So now we're going to talk, I think, towards the end of the week. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I told him I couldn't do Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll have to go back and look at my text with him. Two of the elders there gave him a high recommendation. And then also Josh Ross, going to talk with him towards the end of the week also.
Mm.
And I have a link of a recent sermon that I've given to Jeff and Steve. Did I?
And thank you. Send it, I believe.
Okay.
You did.
Yeah. So I'll send it to the rest of you guys.
That you,
yeah.
I don't know. I haven't listened to it.
So, and it's a sermon he did a few weeks ago at the church he's at. And that's, so I don't know much about him except for what I put there.
Family or age-wise? He's around the same age? And
he's in his late 20s, I believe. Uh-huh. And I believe he's married and maybe has a couple kids. Uh-huh. So I went on Facebook and stalked him there.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. The next guy is Ethan Laster. I got this name from Carson Reed. He goes to Lafayette and is working on his PhD at SLU. Carson said he's quite gifted and undecided on whether he wants to go into teaching full-time or full-time ministry. And then he said he and his wife are here in St. Louis and they love St. Louis. When we were starting to search and not knowing what we wanted, interim minister, Kyle Johnson, the minister at Lafayette, he called me and said, if you're looking for an interim minister, he might be a good guy. He's going to SLU, and he said he's a really, really good guy. He'd love to have him there at Lafayette.
You think Travis knows him?
He probably does, yeah.
Same program or something?
Probably.
Yeah, it seems like, and there's another guy three Church of Christ guys that are in the SLU.
Yeah, there's one guy that was at
Travis Meyer.
No, in Overland. Oh, really? A couple of years ago, who's the other guy? Stephen Lawson was still here. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Hung out with those guys.
Yeah. So that's all I know about him. And the other guy is Travis Akins. He's also a contact through Carson Reed. So with Ethan, I haven't contacted him or anything yet. And with Travis, I haven't contacted him yet. But I got his name through Carson Reed. He's a minister in Edmond, Oklahoma. And I'm thinking they did a church plant, and they've been renting a facility, and they just got into the new facility like very recently. Carson said he would be an excellent fit and bring some experience.
What made him think that he would want to leave that church plant, do you know?
Evidently, he's talked with them, and he said he would be open to some conversations.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was kind of weird time to leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Alden Bass. We've mentioned him. Nate Reiser, we've mentioned him. I don't think Nate would be interested. So.
And we didn't ask Alden directly, but I sort of indirectly, because he was here a couple weeks ago and explored it. I mean, not explored coming here, but just tried to get a feel for how he was doing in his role there, because they'd made some changes at OC, and they'd let some guys go. And he said, well, the university had changed some, and that wasn't something he was all that supportive of, but it hadn't really affected him. Mm-hmm. So that was his. So anyway, I got the sense that he maybe had no intentions of moving.
So what do you think would be the next appropriate steps with Ethan and Travis?
With Ethan, I think we can talk to him, see where he's at, have some conversation with him and also Travis. And with Ethan and Josh, both of those guys, if they are, they'll be two that won't be as confidential as far as not letting people know. But with Michael, nobody there knows that he's looking yet. Mm-hmm. Everybody's happy with him. He's,
okay.
It was kind of a breath of fresh air. I may have said this last time, that he's like, he said, I'm at a great church. Mm-hmm. I got a great ministry going, got a great salary. Everything's going great. But he's just wants to get out of the South, wants more of a mission area.
So. It's a role reversal. Right,
yeah. We're going to lose one to Texas.
There goes one. We'll bring one back.
Yeah. I think we need two draft choices.
Right. And with Michael, Josh, and Ethan, these will be three guys that have never
preached
had a full-time job. And so we've got to remember that we got to, let them grow into the job, which I love that. Travis will have more experience.
Yeah, I'm looking at his Facebook. He's got three kids.
I love that they have kids.
I could speak on the growing into the role thing. You guys took a chance on me. You took a gamble on me, I'm not going to lie. But if you give someone enough time and space to grow and just let God do his thing, I don't see why not. Also, I don't know where I'd fall on any of this. I'm about to be the most tenured minister here. I don't know where I fall on the where I have a voice in this. At least I would like to at least see their sermons. I'm not saying I want to pick who it is, but I would like to.
No, you need to have some input on it, too.
They'll be brought in for more extensive interviews, and that would be that time.
And I'll send you those links. Yeah.
Perfect. And I think we include you guys in, like, when we do a recorded Zoom interview, you'll be privy to that if you want to look at that as well.
Yes, absolutely.
You're in the flow chart.
And on the decision tree, way down at the bottom, I do hope that all of the elders have an opportunity, if they want, to meet with the candidate.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't see that on the, it was implied, but as far as watching videos, but I would want to make sure that, it could be in a group like we've done before, but I just want to make sure that we get if we want to get FaceTime.
So you mean in the final interview, like when they come into town, there was the option of that for everybody to be around it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I would foresee there'll be a Saturday time.
That would be great.
Or if you wanted to go to breakfast, if you felt, you know, there'd be the group time, but then if you want to do a breakfast or a lunch during the course of that weekend.
Good, okay.
I think that would be the standard.
Yeah, and getting input from the congregation, we got to figure that out too, because that'll be important.
And Steve really appreciate all the work you guys have been doing on this, and so, and again for cold searching, we're doing great. Got a good list, so
I feel good with those four.
That's great.
Yeah,
and we meet tomorrow morning, so we'll divvy this up and get this going.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we've considered this individual, but I was just thinking about, and I will say I did send this person a text to say, hey, you should consider, but Philip Matheny, have we considered him?
We've talked about
thought about him.
That did come up.
Yeah.
Is that something he's interested in?
I watched his sermon. I was
he did a great job.
Interesting.
Yeah.
If I was still working here, I'd love to work with him.
And somebody had asked him, and he didn't say no.
Yeah. He said he's praying about it. That's what he said to me. And I said, interesting. So it's not a no.
Yeah, right.
Just putting that out there.
His wife may make a great children's group.
I know. I mean, she has had the practice. Yeah, I mean, homeschooling.
Yeah. That's her degree, by the way.
Look at God.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Steve, you got one more thing on that.
Oh, yeah, one more thing. I asked right after we prayed on Sunday in the elder thing, I had this idea because I've been kind of frustrated because we've not been able to get the church involved in some praying. You know, the monthly thing has not really gotten a lot of people to show up. And I don't know what we do. And so an idea I had, it may not be a good idea, I don't know, but just having a 1 month to where we have one night at 6 o'clock in the prayer room, we'll have a shepherd down there or a shepherd intern. and just from 6 to 7, be down there praying. If nobody's there, it's time for the elder just to kind of pray. And I know we couldn't sustain that for several months.
Every night.
Just
6 p.m. on every night.
Yeah, every just six of the seven, maybe
for,
Sunday
for
night.
For a week, right?
For doing it for a month.
A month, okay.
And I don't know, I'm just throwing the ideas out.
Okay.
But we just have a Monday through Saturday, 6 o'clock, people know up. And
I'm all for it. Do it while I'm here. I will
join
every night.
So think about it. Maybe it's something better. That was just my initial
thought. I like it, but there is a danger when you start running marathons. Is, you know, a month or every night for a month, if that's, you know. But I like the idea. I'm just don't know if, like, you know, three nights a week or something like that. But but I'll try it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you guys think.
Yeah, if we did it maybe once a week or something, like they could do it like the first week would on the Monday, the next week or Tuesday, kind of rotate the days too, you know, if we don't, you know, if it's not practical to do it every day for a month, but maybe we figure out, and maybe even talk about fasting, you know, praying and fasting, because we got a lot of things, man, that's that we want to make sure that we're listening to God on here, and so, So what do you want to do with that, Steve?
I'm throwing it out there.
Okay.
What do we want to do with it?
Okay.
Steve, maybe, really, if you just thought of it, say if you were to take everybody in this room, we would only have to do it twice.
Yeah.
So if we were, like, for just 1 month, if it was just that 1 month.
Yeah.
Well, and that is correct, but I think there's something in being with a group of people, you know.
I'm kind of a little more on Brett's camp, if I'm understanding it. I think that anything that you do over and over again, as in like the monthly prayer time, it just tends to lose a little bit of its steam. So I think if it was done as more of a one-off thing, it is a special, something special about it, as opposed to every day, I think it would have more capacity to, you could even do it a couple of times, yeah, but it would have more capacity to draw a group to say, we need this church, and we need you to be here, mm-hmm, for this time of prayer as we go through decision-making as a transition as a church. I would rather consolidate it, I guess. Is my
okay point.
So do we do a Wednesday night? We have the youth group, we have your small group, and then other people, we could have a, again, I'm just throwing out things, just a couple Wednesday nights in the month of, when would be the most critical month? Maybe it's after Easter, maybe it's in April. So it's April.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
That'd be the best planning time.
Yeah.
Do something really radical?
Can I?
Sunday morning. No, I'm serious.
Just make the Sunday morning service. Yeah. Prayer,
yeah,
service.
Prayer, mm, service.
Yeah.
Everybody's here.
Yeah. Mm. And I don't disagree with that. I'm thinking, when we get closer, I think that will be necessary. You know, I think, you know, definitely, you know, if we're down to one or two candidates, you know, I think we need to really be praying. I mean, literally be praying and fasting. Yeah. And so, yeah, I like that idea. I just don't know, you know, when you do that.
And maybe, okay, and just so take that, that's a Sunday kickoff for a week of prayer and fasting for McKnight. And then on Wednesday night, we meet up here again. And then Saturday morning again. Or just so you have a week.
Or do it just the four Wednesday nights.
Okay.
You know, just as a, I mean, if you start scheduling on different days, and then you get to losing.
Yeah.
Well, I would. I'd forget.
Yeah.
This Saturday.
Yeah. It's hard to retire, isn't it?
It is. No, but I mean,
Church.
We're as close to Wednesday nights historically.
Yeah.
Than any other day, and if it was consistently Wednesday, yeah, night, mm-hmm, for a month,
mm-hmm,
after a Sunday morning kickoff, yeah, or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like the first week after Easter, we could do a kickoff in the assembly, mm-hmm, and then make the month of April as coming out of Easter Sunday, mm-hmm, and the month of April on Wednesday nights, mm-hmm, prayer time for our future of our congregation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if we want to encourage people to fast, we can even serve pizza. You know, at the end,
that's like Fat Tuesday.
At the end, you fast all day, and then you pray, and then we all have a meal together.
Break the fast.
Yeah, break the fast.
Shouldn't we have fish or something?
Yeah,
okay. I think so. All right, so
we'll work on that.
That sounds
we'll
good.
Work on the mechanics of that, but I think that would be great.
Okay. All right, Brad. You had something about the ladies' bathroom.
I'll turn it over to Brent.
Yeah, okay. So there was a rather unfortunate clog on Sunday. Now, again, you don't know what all's going down those. And so I cleaned it up as best I could. I couldn't snake it out, but I plunged everything. And if you flush the toilets up here in the men's room or any of the ladies, or even turn the faucets on, it just... The crap came out. I mean, literally. And so I cleaned it back up. And so Tom was able to snake it out. And, you know, said it, you could tell there was a blockage and he got through. So anyway, I think Tom and I are trying to, you know, plan going forward. You know, like every quarter, do we need to snake this out? You know, not wait for it. Because it seems like, you know, once a year this happens. And then there's some thoughts of, you know, do we need to get the pipe scoped, you know, put a camera down there to see if there's any blockage. And I'm going to talk to Tom first, you know, before we do that, you know, just.
Where does it seem to have the clog? Is it?
It was in the floor drain. So right where that P-trap is, right down there in the floor drain in the ladies' first floor bathroom. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's associated, the floor drain under the baptism. So when you drain the baptism, that. It runs, but it's very slow. So I don't know if it's in the same line and there's just some blockage in there. So Tom's looking at that now. So anyway, Tom and I are looking at options, and we got it fixed, I think. So I'll come back tomorrow and mop it and sanitize everything. And so we should be good for the next coming weeks, but we'll make sure we get some kind of a plan. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I'm thinking at least 3 times, maybe 4. So it's probably about every quarter
since I've been here.
So it's there is just a periodic.
Right. So it's not roots or anything like that.
No, that's what Jeff and I were talking about. I don't think so because it's it works itself through.
Yeah, unless it's historic. There's not been trees there for a long, long time.
Well, and that's a newer. That bathroom was put in with the new addition, wasn't it?
No,
so that's older, here. Right? And I don't know. Some of the pipes under are lead, but I hope that they don't have any clay pipes. You know, because you know those that really gets bad. Yeah. So anyway, Tom and I will work and look on that.
They have a new system where they go in and
sleeve it.
On KMOX radio.
Yeah. A friend of mine at work had that done, and it was like $10,000 just to go 20 feet, you know, from his house to the main. So, yeah. Depends on how much,
I think I'd rather just get in there and dig.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it's these things are unfortunate when they happen, but I think we got it, a path forward on it.
So, Brett, you had some questions about Marseille.
Well, we talked about being very generous, and so we talked about cutting possibly 2 checks, 50 and a 50, and I just didn't know if we'd cut anything or where that was.
And have there been any individual contributions? That probably ought to mention that again. Mm. Well,
Last I planted a seed with Elizabeth was to communicate with Craig about our pledge. And then at the end of every month, we would send, we ask him, do you want 50 or do you want 100 from us? And so when she's back this week, that's the time. I do believe she informed him of our pledge. And so here at the end of February, something's going to happen. Yeah. Okay. Either 50 or 100 plus whatever came in. Okay. And then at the end of March, the same thing again. If we get another 1,000 from the congregation or 10.
Right.
She's already, so what I know, so a little bit more, was that, so I actually was the one that notified him.
Oh, yes.
And so and you were on the email, and I think, right. Elizabeth, that was as you were on your way to the surgery, yep. I think. But, and then she had already sent money to them at least one time by that point when I had talked to her. So that was like 2 weeks after, that was after our meeting, I think.
Well, she's going to send him $90,000 of his money, right?
Yes. Yeah. So his money had been sent, and then she had already sent, I think, the second, some other money had come in. And so then she had not sent our money yet, at least. But I don't know since then. So that's now been over... But 4 weeks, you said, is your surgery. So it's been almost a month since I've talked to her about it. So it's probably getting close to that monthly that she was planning to do.
And so my understanding is whatever we do get in, we're going to send to this Columbia, Missouri organization that then specializes in wiring things to foreign missionaries and making sure it's in the right bucket.
Okay. Well, thanks. Thanks for that. Just let me know. I'm just... want to make sure that I understand how that's working.
No, it's good time for an update. Liz is coming back after visiting her father, I guess.
Yeah.
And so this will be good timing here at the end of the month this week.
Yeah. And then the other one was my question, too. I know we introduced some people that place membership, and I was thinking, I don't even know what that process is. I don't know. What does that mean, to place membership? And, I think there's lots of ways. I don't know if they talk to Jeff or they talk to the elders or... Do they have to say, somebody ask them point blank, do you believe in Christ is the risen Savior, or have you been baptized? And then they have to agree, or, what is that process?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're still working through some of that stuff.
Okay.
We kicked off a Next Steps class. That was last fall.
Yeah.
And we had a few people that took the first section of that class, and it's more of a who we are as a congregation and for us to get to know them. And then we in that class, we get to know kind of where they are in terms of their journey of baptism. And then we the idea was to take that information that we've learned, and then we will go back and finish up the second half and then work through some what they need to do in terms of placing membership. Now, my understanding, you can place membership and really not be baptized, right?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. I don't know what's the situation.
That's what I thought we decided. They can do that.
Yeah.
They can place membership.
You can be a member.
Yeah.
You can be a member.
Yeah.
But we would know. We know that you've not been baptized, so you wouldn't be doing a communion thought or be up front or anything like that. We made that decision quite a few years ago. So that's all designated in the database, but that doesn't mean when we still anytime I've ever done the new member process with somebody, we go over the doctrinal statement that is on one of the pages that explains faith in Christ, explains the role of baptism, explains unity of all believers, the need to come to Christ through faith, these kinds of things. So that's a part of it. Okay. And then there's, once a person understands this, and then they agree to basically five or six things that are on here, the doctrinal statement, the commitment to Sunday morning worship, the commitment to giving, the understanding about small groups, mm-hmm. and that's a key to the life of the church, at least five or six commitments. Then they fill out information that would put them in our database.
Okay,
including a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they sign a waiver so that we know that we can use their picture.
Right.
Okay, a confidentiality a waiver and release. And then we announce them to the congregation once they've said, okay, yes, I want to be a part and I want to associate myself with this congregation, and then they write up a little bit about themselves,
mm-hmm.
send that to us, and then we make the Sunday morning announcement.
Good.
It's kind of one of those things that in our discussion several years ago was kind of in our churches now, people belong and then they believe. Where before they could belong, they had to believe. And just like with the Mintons, and even
Don Edson would be one.
There are two that have become a part, and they're asking about baptism. They're seeing that such a part,
right?
But they have not been baptized as we would traditionally have seen it. Yeah. They've been baptized as infants, so that's something they're thinking about. But we're not excluding them from being a part of the a membership in the community.
Okay.
How many people do we have that fall into the category of not being baptized but members? Do we know that? Just the... Because
you said it's noted, right, in there somehow, so we could figure it out.
Very many at this point, but not sure about Lillian Cease. I'd have to think about it a little bit. There's just a few.
Yeah, like Jim Patterson.
Not sure how Jim is even noted in there, because that kind of predated me.
I appreciate that information. That's helpful for me. And, it's just... I was thinking about that. I'm an elder, and if somebody asked me how to become a member, it's like, I don't think I could tell them. And so, I appreciate that. Yeah. So, it's like, well, if you ask me...
We're still trying to hammer through some of them and open to suggestions, because the whole process... Because really, it tends to meld into be something very amorphous, because people really don't want to make any kind of commitment. I mean, that's just the next... that's the...
Gen Z.
The generations past this one. That's just kind of the. It seems it's just a. It's difficult for them to make those kind of clear commitments.
Okay.
So really, right now, it's talking to you, because there's no class. Yeah. There's no class right
Steve.
Now. Or like
Steve. Yeah. Or Steve. And we talked about it this week. Yeah. That
Dave was a part of the first class. So Dave was in there.
Yeah.
But we have people like that would be the Waltons, the Mintons, Ryan, Cornelius, yes. And then there's Leslie, okay, that have indicated some.
Yeah, Daniel Jones.
Again?
Jones.
Bradley.
Yeah, Bradley.
Yes, Bradley
and
Anna.
Bradley. Yeah,
Bradley.
And then there's a couple of people that express some interest in taking some next steps. So.
Great.
Yeah. I'd like to, I'm glad you asked that question because I don't think that me as a minister working here knew that information. And so as far as that, like they could be members but not baptized. And so I think maybe as we're recruiting and those kinds of things that, I think that would be helpful for us to even know, right? Because, I mean, I am one of those people who I use a lot of volunteers, yeah. And so I just assume that everyone who has placed membership had been baptized. So thanks for the
information. It is kind of a gray area.
It's a little awkward, but it does take a lot of communication.
Yeah. It makes it even more awkward because last time we had our meeting, we had a conversation about somebody serving communion that isn't a member, but is a baptized believer.
Yeah.
And so it made it really...
Yeah, so we have those as well. We have Linda Mueller, who refuses to be a member.
She said why?
Of course.
Because she doesn't believe it's a biblical concept.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Good. Okay. She's been in the directory forever. Mm-hmm. You know, no one would say Linda was not a member. So you just have all of it. Then you have one spouse that's, you know, maybe been immersed as a faith immersion, and then the other one is Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you got those kind of
Katie Binion
quirky things going on. So we try to be discerning, and we're a small enough community that I think we do pretty well as far as people up on the stage. Not that we've done it always perfectly, but that's the, you know, try to be a little, you know, wise with that.
Consistency is a hard thing, isn't it? as a church, but even as an individual.
All right. Well, we're winding down. I guess the last thing is in terms of, I don't think we need to really get into this too much, but the priorities in terms of MX priorities for 2024. Obviously, the two obvious ones are senior minister or minister, may not be a senior minister, and children's minister. And I know Dave's working on some things with LGBTQ in terms of that. So, is there any other priorities we need to have on our radar? You know, for this year, so we make sure that nothing slips through the cracks. there's so much that's taking our attention and requiring us to do so many, go so many different directions. So if we get, so things can slip through the cracks. I just want to make sure that if there's something you guys see as a priority that we need to pay some attention to, we can make sure it's on the table and doesn't fall through the cracks.
I mean, I would say, again, I don't know where it fits in the, these are very important ones, so I don't want to, you know, make stuff up, but I think, you know, bringing along Jeff and Ross is a critical part of this, a part of this process, and I would say it's just is a critical need and priority.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's anybody else that we can define as well from a leadership standpoint, and I would say even maybe more broadly in terms of leadership, maybe not as an elder or shepherd, but other ways to identify key leaders.
Yes,
that would be one. The second thing I see is I think it's very important that we not take the eye off of our missional focus to implement the next gen vision. In other words, I think that conversation could get so lost in terms of finding the next children's minister, and we're down two ministers, and this and that, and you know what I mean. And until we that we just need to hold our feet to the fire, Nathan and myself, while I'm here, and Jeremiah, he's here, and all of them, you know, in terms of we've got this next gen, because I think the next gen vision is the missional and discipleship heart of where of what we have right now as a congregation.
And if we do that right, more younger members will come.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
Which is if we don't do that, we will die.
Agreed.
I told the elders I did a ten-year flip-flop 10 years ago. We were just starting, and we were all 10 years younger, and we had 12 elders. Mm. Now today we have 6, and several have retired from being an elder, and so then 10 years from now, where are we going to be?
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be 10 years. Goes by pretty quick.
It does.
And we've got to really bring up some younger leaders and some younger couples to be a part here. Or what happens?
So that has to be a part of that prayer time in April.
Leadership development and next gen. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But all that said, I think things are going really well.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the past couple of Sundays, really been great. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I think it's
just even the last 4 or 5 months, I feel like, you know, we've kind of said this before, we've turned a corner on the COVID thing. Mm-hmm. And I think we have survived much better than a lot of the churches out there, although you don't compare it to that, but I think we can feel good about we worked pretty hard to get to this point.
A worship service has recovered from losing Jeremy.
Yeah.
And a lot of singers that came along with him.
Okay. All right. Who has the next meeting?
Steve,
got that baton. Where's hot potato? Hot potato.
I think I'm filling in for Dave.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Dave was supposed to, but he's going to do it next 2 months.
All right,
next 2 months. Next 2 months.
So we're back on the first and third Mondays.
Your call, man. Your dealer.
Okay,
that'd be next Monday.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
In that note, maybe we switch it to the second and fourth for next month. Right? We'll try to get back on the schedule at some point. Maybe when there's a fifth Sunday somewhere.
March.
Leave it to me to throw things off schedule. All right. Will you close this out, brother? Claire.
Father, we come before you and we praise your name.
Yes.
Recognizing that this is your work, your church. We pray, Father, that you would lead us in the ways that will produce fruit, that you will send workers here to help us to serve and not just necessarily to be served. Mm-hmm. Pray especially for Jeremiah and his moving on, and I am thankful for everything that he has done.
Amen.
And I know that you're going to do great things
Amen.
With him in the future.
Yes.
And we just praise him for his service here. Mm. Lord, we know that we're just dust of the ground. It has short periods of time to be here on this earth. Yes. We look around, we see brokenness everywhere. Mm-hmm. And perhaps, Lord, we are closer to your return than what we suspect, because you said you would come like a thief in the night. And, but I pray, Father, that the work here will truly produce fruit and give us time to bring more believers through your kingdom. Mm-hmm. We ask in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We can't know the time, but we can know the season. Yeah. It's not time yet. There's key things that have to happen first.
Spring has to come first.
Well, we got... No.